Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
Brian Keller's back. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I am. I'm back. I don't even know how many weeks it's been. I'm excited to be back on the show.
Yeah. No, thanks for abandoning us here. But we lived on, and I think you wrestled Clint out of that chair, so that was good.
That's right. Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, so you were at Brazil and Italy.
Brazil for work, Italy for vacation, and just now I'm back and drinking from the fire hose and trying to get ready for PDC. So, yeah, never a dull moment.
I'm drinking too.
Yeah. Clearly.
Now, one of the things we did earlier this week was announce the PDC session schedule.
Yeah, all the sessions are up.
So you go to microsoftpdc.com/sessions. You'll actually be taken. And what we've done is we have four channels: cloud services, client and devices, framework and tools, Channel 9 Live. Now, each of these will have live events, so you can basically scroll across and see each of the different sessions in those times. So it's probably going to be our biggest, in terms of a Microsoft developer event, biggest streamed event that we've ever done.
So this is pretty incredible. In the past, we've streamed keynotes.
We've done Channel 9 Live all day. Now it's not just Channel 9 Live. It's multiplying that by four.
Well, just think about, like, when we started, you and I started the company at PDC, we would mail physical DVDs with the session recordings, and you get those, like, 2 months later. And then we said, well, technology's moving too fast, and we moved to a model where we ended up publishing them online, like, 4 to 6 weeks later. Mm-hmm. Then we published them, like, 24 hours after the fact. Now everything's live. For the next PDC, we're going to have to show things, like, before they happen.
Yeah, that's
so we're
what
really
I was thinking.
Raising the bar.
It's
like,
well, we kind of do show things before they happen in terms of pre-release products, and people get mad at us for that.
Oh, okay.
Didn't we do that with WinFS? Okay, we're rattling. Anyway. The point is, definitely mark your calendars Thursday and Friday Pacific time. And speaking of which, one of the big things we're going to be doing is Channel 9 Live. So all of these sessions will have Q&A components, but really you can think of Channel 9 Live as the place to get Q&A from, you know, your Rockstar developers, I'm just going to drop a couple names here.
Well, hold on. So the main sessions, like the presentations, I'll be able to watch those live.
Yes.
And then if I see something that one of these people delivers and they're on Channel 9 Live, then I can follow them over to Channel 9 and see what they have to say.
Absolutely.
After the fact.
Or okay. It's lunch break, so there are no sessions going on. Boom, you move over and you can watch Scott Guthrie.
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. Yeah.
Anders Heilsberg.
Yep.
Bob Muglio. Charlie Kindel. A lot of rock stars. A couple of other names.
I love how you rattle off Heilsberg, but you don't know how to pronounce Guthrie. That's great. Mark Rusinovich.
You want me to say Hedgelsberg? Is that a Mark Rusinovich? Yeah. Yep. So a lot of big names are going to be on doing live Q&A with customers. So definitely check this out. Get your questions answered. Everything from phone, Azure, obviously lots of tools and frameworks discussion, so lots of good stuff going on.
And it's at CH9Live is the Twitter account?
Yeah, we're actually going to have some built-in tools in the live playing experience for Q&A on a per-session basis,
okay.
And then Channel 9 will kind of be aggregating those. So let's say, for example, you know, a lot of people are asking out, hey, in the keynote you announced this, mm-hmm. Can you give us more information on this about that?
I'm sorry, what did we announce on the keynote?
Ah, you think I'm a leakster?
Yeah.
Maybe since the last leak. Okay. So, so we can do that. Now, what about if you're at a specific location, you can actually watch, you know, you're in some other country, you want to watch with other developers.
What if I'm in Cairo, Egypt, for example? Which is the first one in this list.
Yes.
I can actually show up and hang out with people.
Other
in my
developers.
Community.
Yes. Number of different events going on. I think there's over 100. You actually tried to get Antarctica on this list, too.
I tried. Yeah, actually we did get in touch with the guy who's the he runs a small IT team down in Antarctica, and he claims that he's the IT director for Antarctica, which is pretty freaking cool. Unfortunately, they have to like get security clearance or government
from the NSF.
From the NSF anytime they want to like stream a live event. So
I think we really just wanted a pushpin on Antarctica.
We did. We did. Next time. We'll get you guys next time. But yeah, this is awesome. And some of these events are actually bigger than the PDC itself. And some of them actually feature some Microsoft.
Bigger in terms of number of people.
That's correct. And some of them actually feature some Microsoft product team members that are going out and delivering presentations and kind of hosting things in their own locale. So it's super exciting to see kind of the whole world coming together.
Yeah, love it. Ooh, So, getting to some of our dev stories, one of the interesting articles was by David Anson on emulator network latency. So, the way this works is, and it's only certain people that this was affecting, is when the browser, when the emulator first makes a network request, it first is a request to go.microsoft.com and gets like an IPv4 and IPv6 address. Some DNS and
servers
do not retrieve the IPv6 entry for that. So it literally would just wait for it to time out. So it gets the IPv4, doesn't get the IPv6, and just sits there waiting. So it's not necessarily the right thing that the emulator should do if it can get the IPv4 as opposed to replacing it with the v6 when it can or whatever. But he actually deciphered that that was the issue that was causing it. Not everybody is hitting this.
But just depends on your DNS server.
Depends on your DNS server. So what you can do is switch to OpenDNS.
Okay.
And you won't have this problem because it returns IPv4 and v6, and you won't have that latency on that first request for the network. So people were blaming the emulator, what's going on. He actually had a repro at his house, and he just shows you how to set your DNS entries on your network settings for your
network adapter. That's great. I love pulling out the protocol analyzers and doing that low-level network sniffing stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And speaking of,
Fiddler.
Yeah, so this is Eric Lawrence, who figured out how to get Fiddler working with the emulator. And so basically you monitor all the traffic that's coming across on port 8888. Should be 7777, I think.
It kind of should be 7777. Yeah. That's true.
But you can see all the network traffic that's going through your emulator, and people will figure out, of course, that we're tracking everything you do, and it's all being sent back to Microsoft. No, I'm kidding, of course. You got a concerned look on your face.
That's what we're doing.
but basically, you can see what's going on. Take the kill shot. Yeah. So, good find. This is one that I'm actually personally a big fan
via
of.
Yeah, Greg Duncan.
Greg Duncan referenced this. Credit goes to Scott Hanselman, actually, who a couple years ago originally posted this. Mm-hmm. And where this started was Scott Hanselman posted a blog entry talking about the no reply all IRM setting that you can use starting with Outlook 2007 to prevent other people on the thread from replying all. Well, IRM is great for a lot of things, but one of the downsides of IRM is that unless you install the certificates on your mobile device, you can't always read it on your mobile device.
Right, right.
Messages are bigger. It requires additional while.
There's a handshake.
Exactly. So if all you want to do is prevent people from like accidentally saying reply all, or from even forwarding the message, it turns out that you can create a macro within Outlook to do that. And so this is a quick add-in that somebody created over on the Microsoft research team. I'm sorry, I'm spacing on his name right now. I've actually exchanged some mails with him. And he recently published it, so you can go out and download it and make sure that when you're sending that mail to, you know, 1,000 of your closest friends, you can click no reply all, and then it will prevent people from having that option.
And no forward is another one as well.
No forward.
But if you
one.
Do get sucked into a reply all, my favorite feature of Outlook 2010, right click, ignore conversation. So that way.
No, you're just supposed to reply all and then say unsubscribe to everybody.
Is that
yeah, that's what you, that's apparently that, what everyone else here does.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna punk you in.
I know, seriously. There's a circle of hell reserved for those people.
There should be.
Yeah, definitely. So before we get in more trouble with HR,
Jaime Rodriguez talks about it. This is really a little bit of an oldie but goodie. It's MSDN docs. Making them available offline. So
yeah, this is a frustrating experience today. I have to say, I think we took a couple steps back with this release in terms of help documentation.
I say to developers, we feel your pain.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think a lot of people really don't like the default experience for MSDN documentation, whether it all be on the web, not having the context, the contents, the index. There is a beta tool that Jaime links to at the end of this, so you don't have to see it in the browser, so you can actually get that. The table of contents and index back, but I think it's a step back, and I hope that enough developers make noise that they take MSDN documentation as a serious thing, as opposed to just using a search engine.
Yeah, I agree. I work pretty closely with the user experience team and the folks who are own our documentation, and I will say that they're aware that there are a lot of growing pains associated with some of the changes that I think the major overhaul changes on the MSDN library went out around the beta 2 timeframe, so about a year ago. And rest assured that people are looking at it. they hear your feedback and they're working on it. So we're just as frustrated as you are, and hopefully we'll see some progress soon.
Can we get a fall person, like put them, you know, like a stake, like?
Actually, Steve Marks said he'd sign up for that.
Steve Marks, there you go. Email yeah. S Marks. And,
that's right. So, so XNA Performance. So this is actually very topical because people to the date, with few exceptions, have been programming Windows Phone 7 applications and testing them in the emulator.
Yes.
Which is great that you can do that. Gives you a lot of flexibility. But the problem with this, and we talked about this on the show before, is that the emulator doesn't have no governor. So your applications will take full advantage of the processor speed of your desktop or your development workstation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you still have one of those turbo buttons, you can press that. But short of a turbo button, one of the things you need to recognize is that when you push your applications down to the device itself, of course, you know, it's not going to run as fast. So a lot of people are probably going to be interested in how do I eke the most performance out of my application by ensuring that I optimize my code. So there's this great help topic now that has a list of several dozen resources around XNA performance specifically.
Yeah, and just to name a couple of them, you know, the performance considerations, best practices, and another one that a lot of people get confused around is tombstoning, kind of when somebody clicks start in your application, application's kind of within a state where it may or may not jump back, and how to do that. So a lot of people that are submitting to the App Hub, you know, there's bugs and not necessarily doing the right thing. So definitely something to check out.
Exactly.
And so, speaking of Windows Phone 7, Renee, who we've talked about before, and we talked about it, Rene Schulte, I hope I got his name right, Schulte?
He even sent us a WAV file.
I know,
yeah,
we're terrible
and we
people.
Just, sorry.
So he just released his Photo Labs, which is based on PicFX. For people that actually have a Windows phone, you can see both PicFX and the I think it's Pictures Lab, available in the marketplace.
Okay, so and this is the article that talks about how he built those.
Yeah. So all the different effects, you know, the iEffect interface, how to go through them, how all the different rendering happens in the actual application, so you can see, you know, not just the application in the emulator, but in the marketplace.
So if you want to save a dollar and build it yourself, he tells you how to do that.
I don't know what that means.
Well, he tells you how to build it, so you don't have to buy it in the marketplace. Right?
Well, no. His has a lot more stuff. His is more
it's
Photoshop.
Different. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this one. So you're going to explain the at model keyword.
So for people that are using MVC and probably familiar with MVC, if you're using Razer style views, what you typically do is say, "Hey, my model for this view is going to take. I'm going to have a model which is." You know, basically, it's going to be this data type is used within this view.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the example Scott Gu uses here, it's a list of categories that probably has a category ID, category name, those sort of things. That's the data model or the entities, if you will. So, what Razer gives you is the ability to just do a quick, simple shortcut for at model. At the top of your page, you don't have to worry about doing an inheritance and then having, you know, probably an uglier iList of this specific type. Mm-hmm. You just say the model's going to be, and then you give it a data type, and it's going to be just the list of categories. So that way, you're at that point, you can basically do, in this example, we're just going to loop through all the different categories and display the category name.
Got it.
So, simple, easy keyword, but a lot of people may be used to non-Razer views and not be using the AtModel keyword, and the AtModel keyword is new to the new one. And Scott also talks about IntelliSense, which is probably one of the biggest requests that people are looking for in Razer, and he keeps talking about it coming soon, so people understand. In fact, if you read his comments, a lot of people are asking for that as well.
So AtModel is new to MVC.
Razer.
It's new to Razer.
Razer views.
Okay.
Razer views.
Okay. Got it.
Boom.
Including JavaScript and master pages. So if you're taking advantage of ASP.NET master pages so that you can replicate code or markup.
Yeah, I have a JavaScript file. Yep. I just want to do a fully qualified path within a master page and then be able to reuse that master page on multiple pages.
Seems
how do I get it to
enough.
Work?
It's not.
Yep. So he goes through about five different attempts on exactly how to do it and why it doesn't work or how it partially works, et cetera, et cetera. So if you are looking to do JavaScript in Master Pages, you should definitely look at this.
Okay. I am, actually. That's what I was going to do this weekend.
Yeah.
So Andy Bellew. We always say Bellew, so again,
one L.
Apologies. Andy Bellew, so friend of the show, he's submitted several applications, one for coding for, coding for fun, right?
Yeah, they're in the marketplace.
Yep, and so...
We talked about his tips, marketplace tips last week.
And so a lot of people are fans of Physics Helper, that is a library that he's come out with. Physics Helper 4 now provides support for...
Farseer Physics 3.
Got it. And
yes.
So you can use this in, is it Silverlight applications, right?
Yeah, so Silverlight applications... we have him working on a upcoming Coding for Fun application, which we can't talk about just now.
Oh, but, and what's the name of that one again?
Good call. But let's just say we needed continuous collision detection. Which is a new feature in Farseer 3. He does call out that, you know, there could be bugs and et cetera, because he is doing this, but he is actively working on apps that use this, so as he catches bugs, he'll be releasing stuff, but he's thought it seemed pretty stable.
Nice. All right. So time for
my pick of the week.
So my pick of the week is a new hosting provider. So this is discountasp.net. They launched TFS as a service.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a growing trend from organizations that want to have sort of a cloud-hosted Team Foundation server instance. And discountasp.net is a great company to do that. It's $20 per user per month. And I believe that actually gives you all of the capabilities of Team Foundation server. I don't know if that includes a build server, but you can get your source control, your work items, reports, everything that you'd expect. So you will find some less expensive alternatives out there for hosted source control only, but if you're looking for source control, work items, reports, everything kind of rolled up into one, check out TFS on discountasp.net.
Okay. And a sad item is Sarah Ford is leaving Microsoft.
Yeah.
And she actually gave a shout-out to one of my old blog posts on Microsoft Bloggers the Movie, where I compared you to Neil Patrick Harris.
That's right. That's
shockingly.
Right. Yep.
So, although she still thinks she looks like Sarah Gilbert, which I think is the sister from...
Wait, she thinks she... Let's make sure people understood. She thinks she looks like Sarah Gilbert. And you said she looks like...
The girl from Saturday Night Live. I can't remember her name.
Tina Fey.
No.
No.
Anyways.
Rachel Dratch. Is that
no.
her name?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, and
so we'll provide a link to that. But yeah, Sarah Ford, huge asset to Microsoft, huge asset to the community.
And
she's
open source.
Absolutely.
Visual Studio tip of the day. She even showed off her Coding for Fun LED belt buckle.
Yeah, and she, I think, really, you know, cares a lot about where she came from, too. She donated all the profits to her book, which is about Visual Studio tips and tricks, back to her hometown, Waveland, Mississippi, which was one of the towns that was hardest hit by Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
So just a great person. Sarah, we love you. We don't know where you're going, but please stay in touch and let us know when you're in town.
Yeah, it'll be a sad day. She was even on here predicting that the Saints would win the Super Bowl.
Ah, that'll never happen.
Exactly, and they won!
Absolutely.
That is the power of Sarah.
So we need to have a New Orleans-style funeral for Sarah.
I think we do, although she's not dead yet. I'm not dead yet! She hasn't said where she's going either.
I'm sure she's off to do great things.
Yes.
Unless she's going to a competitor, in which case it's not going to work out.
You're dead to us then.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, you will be missed.
That's right. So next week, actually, we won't be here on the regular this week on Channel 9 because
we'll be doing Channel 9 Live Thursday, Friday,
PDC. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you then.
Thanks.